Now here is your host, John Rush.
Filling in is Andy Pate, party of choice.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, along with Rachel Keene, conservative mama. On the line right now, we have Jonathan Butcher of the Heritage Foundation. Jonathan, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Doing well. Now, were you going to talk about the infrastructure bill today? Was that kind of the plan?
It sounds like it costs a lot of money, and so we'll be paying more taxes. That's about the best that I can do on that one.
No, I want to lay your mind at ease, though. I want to lay your mind at ease. Kirsten Gillibrand, as you know, said that paid leave, child care, and caregiving are infrastructure. Those are infrastructure. So I don't want you to worry about how this is being spent, Jonathan. No matter what they do with the money, it is infrastructure, and you can drive on it.
I feel better already.
Good.
Right. It reminds me of that, The Princess Bride, where he's like, you keep saying that word, but I don't think you it means what you think it means.
Yes.
Like, the infrastructure, do they know what infrastructure is?
Oh, they know.
I know.
They don't care.
I know.
Jonathan, guide us. We need guidance.
Well, I think that the biggest thing to be aware of right now is the promises that the administration made coming into this 2021, especially concerning the way that they were going to direct schools around reopening, the way that they're going to direct new spending, are all, I think, for one, not new, right? We've heard this before from progressive candidates, and especially in light of COVID, the amount of money that is being spent is, I mean, you know, it's I would call it breathtaking if we hadn't had such huge expenditures piling up over the past few years. But what's happening in education, especially right now, is huge. I mean, they're talking about really unprecedented amounts of federal money all at once that's going to be spread out over several years.
Right. So, but this is the thing. A leftist hears this, and they're like, this is wonderful. More money and into our education system. This is great. How do you explain what this really means to them, Jonathan?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that they have, American taxpayers have spent about $2 trillion in federal spending on education dating back to the 1960s in real money after adjusting for inflation. This amounts to approximately 10% per year, a little less than 10% per year of all education budgets. So the impacts that we have seen in programs such as Head Start, such as Title I of the federal education law, and on, are measurably not improving the opportunities for children from low-income families.
Right.
Head Start is an expensive mess. There's evidence of not just child abuse, but also sloppy standards from Head Start centers, as well as there's not evidence of learning gains. And then when it comes to K-12, the achievement of students, any achievement that we have seen cannot be traced back to federal spending specifically.
Hmm. Okay, well, Jonathan, how much money are they flat out trying to take out of this infrastructure bill and put it into education? And just exactly how are they going to direct it? Are we going to see a lot of this basically just go into forwarding an agenda through the schools?
Well, I think the big thing to recognize is the role that the unions are playing in this spending.
Yeah.
Because if you trace it back to March of last year when they passed the first CARES Act bill to provide more money for schools in COVID, so it was $13 billion is where it started. And then again in December of last year, it was another almost $60 billion just for K-12 schools. And then, even before the discussion about the infrastructure bill, they were talking about upwards of $200 billion that has been added. And all this time, okay, the evidence from federal auditors has found that schools have spent a small fraction, like single digits of percentiles.
What happened to the money, John?
The amount of money.
What happened to the money?
That's a great question. So some of it has been promised for future years, and that's where unions come in, because what's going on now is if you put this much money at schools and you say, which they have and the feds have, that you can spread it out over 5 to 7 years, what that means is tie that to the 6 feet distance, right, that's still being promoted by the CDC.
Right.
You have smaller class sizes, which will require more employees in schools and public schools, which will mean potentially more union members. And then the interest group is satisfied with whatever else the president or anyone in his administration.
So you're boosting union dues by hiring on more teachers. So now they become even more powerful,
right,
and can donate even more to Democrat politicians.
I don't think it was an accident that the heads of the NEA and the AFT had a photo op with in the White House in January, right? Shortly after the president was in office.
But this is being done for the children.
No.
Don't you love children, Jonathan?
Mm. Well, I think the real issue is that we have seen over the years that more money does not lead to higher levels of student success.
No, not at all.
And we've had stagnant scores and even declining scores in recent years on the best indicators of comparisons between in reading and math. Most importantly, I think, is that when you look at the achievement gap between low-income children and their middle and upper-income peers, that gap has not changed over the course of about 50 or 60 years, which means that all the increases that we've had, and they have been increases in real terms, and they get bigger the further back you go, has not closed that gap.
So, Jonathan, we got people listening. They're thinking, okay, what do we do? Like, what can we do? What are you saying to just your average listener that's hearing this? This money's being poured out. It's being misused. We're not seeing improvements. What can we do? Is there anything we can do right now?
Well, I'll leave it two big things that should give us hope. I would say the first is that state lawmakers are considering more ways for parents to choose how and where their children learn. We're talking about private school scholarships, education savings accounts, two new programs passed in states just this year, West Virginia and Kentucky, which have been longtime union strongholds and in many ways still are, but these school choice options are now a reality in those two states.
Awesome.
There are a number of other states, Arkansas one, that just saw some movement on a school choice proposal just today. Florida is considering another program. So, you know, all of this is evidence that state lawmakers hear families who are frustrated with the assigned virtual schooling that we've seen over the past year.
Hey, Jonathan.
Just not satisfied.
One thing before you run on to the next point, is it possible, though, that the Democrats will tie this money to basically holding out things like school choice? Because keep in mind, it's the teachers' unions that are behind all this.
Right.
Something like that would certainly lead to a lawsuit. I mean, I think that they can try as they might, and that'll have to be settled in the courts of what sort of strings they attach. Now, I would say these private school choice options that I'm talking about here at the state level don't include federal money. So, you know, it would certainly be a stretch, and there would be all sorts of principal and legal entanglements that would be involved in telling a state that they can't use state money in a specific way if they are going to receive certain federal money, but I'll leave that to the lawyers to hammer out. I would say the biggest thing for families is that what's going on in their state and in terms of their child options and opportunities is a critical policy issue for them. And that should give everyone, I think, hope for the future. The second thing is, and this is a moral question, is I think what families are seeing now as they recognize the critical race theory elements that are being put into ethnic studies programs, social studies programs, teacher certification requirements in Illinois. As parents recognize the intolerance that this is teaching, the discrimination, frankly, that it is advocating for against people from different ethnicities, families will begin to recognize that it's not just a question of school choice. It's not just a policy issue. This is a matter of preserving our culture.
Right.
This is a matter of having our values reflected in the places where our children are taught. And so I think that this is very much a cultural issue and about sustaining our American identity.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, well, Jonathan, before we let you go here, anything more on the infrastructure bill? By the way, isn't it only about 5% of this is roads and bridges? Because every time they roll out one of these things, they only mention that part of it. Okay, they're going to roll this out and say roads and bridges, roads and bridges, roads and bridges.
Right.
And that's 5% of it, isn't it? I mean, where's the rest of the money going?
Well, I think that so far the transparency obviously hasn't been clear enough for voters and those that are watching. Again, I would say that the money that has been dished out to schools already over the past year and a half, and has not been spent, shows that Washington is sending money to states and to schools in particular faster than they can spend it. And that should give everyone concern.
Well, Jonathan, I'm sorry, but three words come to mind here. They're building up union slush funds.
Yep.
I mean, isn't that what they're doing? The unions are basically building up these enormous slush funds that they can spend on anything. Like, oh, I don't know, a politician that got them a lot of money.
Future elections,
Is that correct?
Well, yes, and they've used their political clout to keep schools closed, even when it has been, you know, safe, according to different indicators, to have them open, or at least the option for in-person learning. You've seen it in Chicago. You've seen it in different cities in California, including L.A. and Philadelphia, where the unions have the district leaders or even the mayor has called teachers back and said, we need to give parents the option of in-person learning, and the unions have just flatly said no.
Yeah.
And these local politicians have caved.
Okay, last question before you go here, Jonathan. Do you see that dam starting to break? It's starting to look like more and more states are opening up their schools, opening everything up. The ones that don't, are they going to start to look really bad?
Well, I think that parents are moving on their own. I think that the numbers of homeschool students is going up, according to surveys.
Mm-hmm.
I think the percentages that we've seen in Catholic schools that have had to were on the verge of being closed because of financial reasons has slowed. And I think that, you know, families are deciding, and with the number of families forming learning pods for their students and their you know, neighbors and their neighbors' kids, all of this shows that there is a civil society solution to a persistent problem that teacher unions and other special interest groups are perpetuating.
Right.
Okay, Jonathan Butcher offering some hope for all of us. We really need it.
Yep.
Hey, Jonathan, how can people get to see more of your work?
They can find us at heritage.org.
Awesome.
Heritage.org, and that's Jonathan Butcher. Folks, you want to read his stuff, it's great. Thank you, Jonathan. Come back anytime.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, up next is Affordable Interest Mortgage with Kurt Rogers. Kurt Rogers would love to help with your mortgage needs. Maybe you want to move, upgrade, buy a second home, just refinance. Doesn't matter. Kurt's your guy. Call Gert at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, RoofMax, why does Dave Hart want you to put off roof repair? Well, here's why. Because he did roof repairs for years and he saw how roofs could have lasted far longer at lower price with treatment. Bet your roof repair guys never told you that. Have you ever had one?
No, I have not.
No, they have not. They just want your money.
Yes.
Yes. Well, call Dave and you can save money at 303-710-6916 or you can find him at klzradio.com.
Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora started out as a traditional roofer, repairing and replacing asphalt roofs. But he got so tired of the unnecessary waste. The quality of asphalt shingles has declined in recent years, leading to less and less durable roofs, especially in Colorado, where high altitudes expose your roof to stronger UV rays that damage your shingles, combined with severe spring and summertime storms and more than twice the national average snowfall, you could end up replacing your roof every few years, paying higher and higher insurance costs. Roof rejuvenation from RoofMax offers an alternative to total roof replacement. Just one application of the all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof guaranteed. Because Dave has a background in roofing, he can provide any patches or small repairs your roof may need before applying roof rejuvenation. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916.
putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with conservative mama Rachel Keene. Okay, Rachel.
Yes.
Matt Gaetz.
Yeah. Goodness.
As you know, yes, he's under a lot of fire. He's got people accusing him of
fire.
Yeah, sexual improprieties. There's all kinds of smoke, but there is no fire
right
thus far. Now, Matt Gaetz, of course, is the congressman from Florida.
He's a congressman from Florida.
He's
young
a firebrand.
Guy, firebrand,
yeah.
Very outgoing. He's always throwing haymakers, making.
Yeah, he has some great comments.
Yeah, like, yeah, he's a fighter in the ring, and I appreciate it. I appreciate his
sure.
his willingness to fight back against this leftist radical agenda.
By the way, folks, if you have any thoughts on Matt Gaetz or just these issues in general, 303-477-5600.
Yeah, give us a call. Let us know.
Here's what gets me. Former Florida Republican,
okay,
Rep. David Jolly, he blasted Matt Gaetz on Wednesday. Of course, it was on, I think, MSNBC or CNN, one of those. And for his arrogance in response to allegations of sexual misconduct. Jolly offered Gaetz advice while appearing on, yeah, here it is, MSNBC's Deadline White House, and said the best thing Gaetz can do is shut up, hire a lawyer, and resign.
So is this a former Republican? Is this?
Yeah, but he's also one who is highly, he's a never-Trumper. Well, I don't know if he's never-Trump, but he hates Trump.
Yeah.
And he said that, he says that Gaetz is doing the very same kinds of things as Trump, trying to get out of it. He says, I think the operative word again is arrogance. Look, the fact that he's speaking to a conservative group today says as much about the conservative movement today as it does about Matt Gaetz. I've said for a week now, the best thing Matt Gaetz can do is shut up, hire a lawyer, and resign. And that means don't attend these conservative gatherings. Don't try to recover yourself in conservative circles.
And just today, it looks like women in Gaetz's office reject the allegations against Gaetz. They call him morally grounded. So there's a lot of like, it's just a lot of stuff in the air right now that we're supposed to like kind of weed our way through.
Well, yeah, I mean, supposedly they say that he was showing pictures of lewd pictures of women on the House floor
right.
to other congressmen. However, none of these people have given their names. None of these people have given a statement. They've got nothing.
Right.
And here's what I'm saying. He could be as guilty as the day is long.
Right.
Maybe he's totally guilty.
Yeah.
But guys, right now, let's take a step back and realize something. We have zero zip zilch nada evidence. We don't have a single phone
call.
It's
all just allegedly unsubstantiated,
yeah.
Anonymous source.
Where are the love notes?
Yes.
Where are the texts?
Yes.
Where are the hotel reservations where he is with this 17-year-old
girl?
Yeah,
supposedly he's with this 17-year-old. He travels with some 17-year-old. And
yeah, she was an assistant. She
yeah.
was. He traveled with a number of people.
Right. And supposedly, yeah, they had intimate relations.
Yes.
And she's underage, so that's the big.
But does she say that?
I don't think she said anything.
No.
I
don't think yeah. Thus far, and I'm not saying she won't, because let's face it, accusations come
right
from everywhere. They do. But so far, we don't have one. Yeah, I mean, you have people making accusations all the time. We don't have one single solitary shred of evidence. I mean, not a little evidence. We have no evidence.
Right.
Absolutely none. And at some point, we got to look at these people and say, you know, I don't care about the seriousness of the accusation. You gotta offer some proof. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, and then there's another side of the story. What is it? Have you heard of, like, Gaetz is accusing the FBI of, like,
yeah.
You know, extortion of some kind. So it's like, what is going on?
Well, Gaetz has even gone so far as to say the FBI has the tapes that clear me.
Right.
Release the tapes.
Yes.
Okay.
Have we had a statement from the FBI on this? Have they said anything?
No.
Okay.
They have not denied having the tapes.
Okay.
They've not denied having any of this.
Okay.
The FBI, which is, let's face it, run by liberals now, okay? They have
True.
Not denied that they have what Matt Gaetz says they have. Matt Gaetz has fully denied doing any of what this is has been alleged.
Right.
Yes. He has fully denied this. He has denied doing any of that on the House floor. Nobody has come forward. By the way, folks, these people who supposedly say he showed pictures and said I could do this or whatever with this young girl, okay, who are you?
Yeah.
What is your name?
Give us your name.
Because I want to know if you're some leftist Democrat, in which case, what makes you think this guy is going to be sharing this with the enemy?
No, he's not going to.
And by the way, if you're a Republican, why would he share it with you? The whole point
is
this.
It doesn't make sense.
He would have to be spectacularly stupid.
And extremely arrogant to think that, like, no one's going to call him out on this.
Right. To be showing pictures like this on the House floor to House members.
I have a hard time buying that story.
It's possible.
Right, right. And I'm not saying this is where I stand on this whole thing is you're innocent until you're proven guilty. And I don't know what's happened to our society where suddenly you're guilty and then you have to prove your innocence. Like, this is nuts. Until there's proof that he is guilty, then we need to extend grace, like we were talking about earlier, and let you know, the story play out, the evidence unfold.
Rachel, you just hit it on the head. And by the way, notice we are saying something that we would say of a Democrat or a Republican.
True, yes.
Innocent until proven guilty. Until you offer something, anything. I want to see phone records.
Right.
I want to see surveillance footage at a hotel. Of these two walking together down. You can get that.
Like, remember with the Katie Hill. Remember the Katie Hill story? Was it Katie Hill? Was she some representative?
Yeah.
That had relationships with her staffers.
Right.
And then I saw photographs.
They had evidence.
There was the photo. And then I was like, oh, okay.
How about all the stuff with Hunter Biden? The evidence was overwhelming. It was an avalanche of evidence.
You could see the picture. Oh, my gosh. Some really inappropriate pictures with Hunter.
Yes.
Who now, by the way, I guess smokes Parmesan cheese. This is just the newest.
Well, who doesn't? And it's obviously much cheaper.
What the heck is going on out there?
But here's the thing. We're not asking much, folks.
No.
Emails, texts.
Yeah.
Scheduling reservations, hotel reservations that you are together and we know that you're not together.
A public statement. There's been none of that.
There's been nothing.
No.
You're not. All you've got is accusations coming from the fog, which, by the way, happened with Trump.
All the time. Oh,
all
my gosh.
The time,
New York
and they
Times,
were proven
Washington
wrong
Post.
Again, yeah, it and was again, al- and again.
It was always like some, anonymous source claims this, and then the same anonymous source goes over to New York Times, and they bounce over to Washington Post, and then they're at Newsweek. It was all a strategic attack, and I kind of see like this is like a strategic attack against Gates.
Oh,
like
very.
It's pretty.
Whether
it looks calculated.
False, it's
yeah,
calculated.
Whatever it is, right?
Well, bottom line, we're not standing up for Matt Gaetz's. Innocence.
Right. If he's doing inappropriate stuff with a 17-year-old, that's not right. That's wrong. I would condemn that.
There you go.
Even though he's a fellow conservative, I would say this is wrong. You should not be doing that.
But the bottom line is we got nothing.
We got nothing right now. No.
And until we got something, we have to presume what?
Innocence.
Yes. So we are presuming innocence until proven guilty. What a crazy idea. Ready to go to break?
Yes, let's do this.
Okay, let's go to break. Golden Eagle Financial. You know, your job isn't confusing. Your job's not confusing. You've done it for years, right? But retirement, that's a whole new world. Let Al Smith guide you as you can learn how to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes or just how to minimize risk. Call Al at 303-744-1128 or you can find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com.
Feel good about your retirement with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. You've already done the heavy lifting by setting money aside for retirement all these years. Now you're looking about 10 years ahead and asking, how can I be certain I'll have enough income in retirement? That's where creating a plan becomes vitally important. Al Smith will help you develop a strategy for the money waiting in your 401k or IRA. For the past 16 years, financial advisor Al Smith has specialized in helping his clients make the transition from working to retirement. He will help you make decisions now that will preserve your life savings for the future, like creating a plan to fund a long-term healthcare crisis should that become necessary. You've worked hard for your money. Now let's make sure your money works hard for you. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Extreme Auto Repair. Do you want a deal on auto service? Well, guys, if you're veterans, first responders, Costco members, all of you get 15% off right now at Extreme. And even if none of these apply to you, there are coupons available at extremeautorepair.com or give them a call at 303-841-1071. Great service, great deals, Extreme Auto Repair.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with Rachel Keene of Conservative Mama. And on the line right now, do we have Gregory Wrightstone? Maybe?
Almost, maybe.
Okay, we're going to have him pretty soon.
What's his background, Andy?
He is the writer of Inconvenient Facts, the science that Al Gore doesn't want you to know.
Ooh.
So already I like him.
I do like him.
Already I like him. And I think he was going to talk some about Biden's Green New Deal. Which, by
what did Al Gore say? Didn't he say we were going to all be frozen or burnt to death or something by now? I mean, what?
Nobody has ever made more wrong predictions than Al Gore.
I don't remember what we're supposed to be at this point. But
Dick Morris did not get that one election 4 years wrong more than Al Gore.
Right. But I do remember being in school. So Al Gore was making all these predictions. And like we just keep passing every prediction that he's made with none of them happening.
They had all the proof of Matt Gaetz being guilty.
Right.
I mean, the only difference is that Matt Gaetz, hey, maybe something could possibly at some point come out showing he is guilty.
Yes.
But with Al Gore, at this point, nothing can come out.
Nothing.
Showing that this guy is not a complete absolute liar.
And if you're on board with this whole thing, don't you think at some point you start to say, well, wait a minute, you told us like, you know, by this point, this was going to happen. And by this point, this was going to happen. None of this has happened. When you start to question it?
Well, I know somebody who does question it. Gregory Wrightstone. He's on the line right now. Gregory Wrightstone, the author of Inconvenient Facts, the science that Al Gore doesn't want you to know. Gregory, how are you doing?
Oh, really good. Good to be on with you, but bad in other ways. There's a lot of bad things coming out of D.C. right now.
Okay, it's crazy right now.
Before we even get to that, Gregory, can I call you Greg or Gregory? What do you like?
Call me Greg.
Greg. Okay. Greg.
Because we're friends.
We're longtime friends, man. We're longtime friends. Are you actually saying that Al Gore has, on occasion in his life, not been correct?
I'm stating that categorically. Absolutely.
Can you give one big prediction of his that was totally wrong, and then we'll move on to Biden.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he predicted two. He predicted that certain islands in the Pacific island chains that were at risk were going to be underwater by 2010.
Right.
And that's a fascinating subject. That's a great segue into this, is the islands that he predicted, were these at-risk islands were identified by the UN, and they were supposed to be well gone by the year 2010. One of those are the Maldives. It's an island chain. It's a nation with islands here and there. They're actually gaining size.
Wow.
And get this, and now bear in mind, they were one of the most at-risk islands that were identified because of sea level rise. There are three large resort hotel complexes that are being constructed seaside in the Maldives right now. Well, just think about that. These are tens of millions of dollars that are invested by equity companies and insured by insurance companies. Insurance companies avoid risk like the plague.
Yeah.
They don't, right? I mean, if there's any company in the world that doesn't like risk, it's insurance companies. And these, they're fully insured, fully backed, fully stocked. Do you think these guys are going to, these companies will invest tens of millions of dollars to build these huge facilities if they think they're going to be underwater in 10 years?
No, I mean, anytime they put their money in like that, you got to figure they have looked
Yeah.
At all the facts, all the numbers, and they say there is no risk. But Greg, you're not giving Al Gore credit for something, and I just want to call you out on this.
Go ahead.
He did discover a whole new species.
Oh.
CGI polar bears.
Yeah.
Up until Al Gore, polar bears had always been, you know, in the wild, they'd been the real thing. But he discovered CGI ones that you could put. Sorry.
Yeah, well, he
put that in his movie.
But look at, think about this. We haven't heard much about polar bears lately, have we?
No, we have not.
No, that's because they're everyone. I think everyone has a pet polar bear now.
Well, 20 years ago, 15, 10 years ago, they were the iconic symbol of climate change and global warming.
Yes.
Right.
What, have you seen anything about polar bears going extinct lately? No.
No.
Because it's pretty well documented that the population is growing, and actually growing so much that they become a nuisance and a danger.
Wow.
And so they just stopped talking about it.
Wow.
And that's another one of these predictions that they... And the other dirty little secret about polar bears, they thrive in low ice environment because there are more critters to eat.
Yeah.
They do very poorly, actually, when there's ice advances and ice, when ice really, really starts growing in the polar regions. Let me just throw out another inconvenient fact about climate change is that while we're talking about polar events, we could melt the entire polar ice cap, and it would scarcely do anything to sea level rise. And the reason is the northern polar ice cap is floating in the Arctic Ocean. It's only land-based glaciers and ice, like mainly Greenland and Antarctica, when they melt, they affect sea level rise. But we could melt the entire polar ice cap, and it would have nothing to do to affect sea level rise.
Well, yeah, when the ice melts in your glass, the water doesn't jump up higher.
No.
Right, you can do that experiment right in your listeners can go, okay, well, let's try that out. Now, when you do this experiment, make sure the ice isn't resting on the bottom of the glass. But if you put a glass, mark what the water level is, put a few cubes in there, and when that ice melts, the water level remains the same. It's the same thing with the polar ice cap, northern polar ice cap. And Antarctic is not going anywhere because its average temperatures is below negative 30 degrees centigrade. So even if it warms, you know, a few degrees, which is more than what's expected, ice doesn't melt. Ice will not melt until it gets above 32 degrees Fahrenheit or 0 degrees centigrade.
Oh, you're just a crazy denier. Where do you come up with this stuff?
Gosh, it sounds scientific,
ice melting
though.
At 32 degrees?
That sounds pretty science to me, though.
Sounds like a quack. Greg, I'm not sure if I'm going to buy into this. I just think you're one of these right-wing loons.
Well, you know what I was doing today? I'm now executive director of the CO2 Coalition.
Okay.
I joined them at the beginning of the year, a group of 70 of the top climate scientists in the world. We've got physicists, astrophysicists, we've got climatologists, I'm a geologist, and we support the notion of an Earth that's thriving and prospering because of modest warming and increased CO2. And it's by almost every metric, the Earth's ecosystems are improving. Our air and water are cleaner today than they've been in over 100 years and getting better every year. These tales of climate apocalypse that are around the bend just are factually incorrect, and I get angry at some of the things we're being told. Just your listeners are being lied to about climate change.
Right.
Not that it's not happening, it is, but the devastating consequences of a modest rise in temperature.
Hey, Greg. By the way, we got a break coming up here. Can I hold you over?
Sure.
Okay, but first I got to ask you, because you talk about warmth bringing greater prosperity. Is it true the medieval warming period, did that really happen, and did it bring prosperity?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I'm working in my second book about this. I mean, we know that, for example, Vikings were growing barley on Greenland. You can't grow barley on Greenland now because you just can't. The growing seasons aren't like. I mean, we can use, that's just one historical bit of data. We can look at other crop records, and we use what we call proxy data to figure this all out on what the temperatures are. Yes, the temperatures during that time and the previous warming periods were all warmer than we are today. And in fact, we're being told, oh my God, we can't let it get a degree and a half or 2 degrees warmer. Well, let's look back over Earth's history and human history. What happened when those temperatures warmed like that? Humanity flourished. Life was good. Food was bountiful. Great empires and civilizations arose during the other warm periods that they're warning us about. So no, history tells us that warm has historically been really, really good for humanity because during these civilizations you could feed the crops and food were bountiful. And so people didn't have to scrub and worry about how they were going to feed their family tomorrow or next week or next year. So they had time to tinker, to dream, to invent, to sculpt. And they did. And that's what happened in those warm periods. And then it got cold and famines set in. And in the next segment, maybe we could talk about the fascinating relationship between, in the medieval warm period when it started cooling down, the relationship between falling temperatures and 50,000 witches that were burned at the stake because they were blamed on weather causing witches.
Wow.
So it wasn't done just to get warmth.
That's terrible.
Sorry.
It's horrible. Now, so, but what about the people that say, well, it's just going to keep heating and heating and heating and heating? I mean, you're talking about, you know, this climate warming, clearly, yeah. Greg.
Good.
So what happens if it just keeps going?
Because it hasn't happened in 10,000 years, and it's not going to happen now. They're saying that because we've increased carbon dioxide levels by 130 parts per million. Over since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, okay?
Okay.
Well, we're a little bit less than 420 parts per million right now. The average over Earth's history has been 2,600 parts per million, 6.5 times as much CO2 in the atmosphere over Earth's history as we are today.
Why would that be, Greg?
We're at dangerously low levels of CO2 today. We've been stripping CO2 whenever... there were two great events that occurred. One was the advent of the evolution of the grasses, grass and the woody plants, which sucked huge amounts of CO2 out of the atmosphere, and it created great cold deposits.
Hmm.
The second event was the flowering plants. They're called angiosperms, but these flowering plants, and at those both of those events, we just started what's called sequestering CO2. And we've been sequestering CO2 into the rocks. And right now, you know about the great shale reservoirs and the fracking revolution.
Yeah.
These shale reservoirs were part of the result of why we have such low CO2 levels. It sucked CO2 out of the atmosphere and created these organic rich rocks that are now the reservoirs, like the Bakken, the Marcellus Shale, Eagleford Shale, some of the things you may have heard of that we're now liberating this CO2 that was encased in these rocks for over millions of years.
Well, and Greg, I'm doing my best. I'm driving as much as I can.
Thank you.
It's because I care, man. I do it for all of humanity.
So thoughtful, Andy.
If you look on the back of my truck, on my SUV, I've got a bumper sticker that says I Heart CO2. I just got a bunch of I Heart CO2 face masks in that I hope I don't have to wear for very long.
Yeah.
No, I'm a huge proponent. I love CO2.
I made a bumper sticker. This is true, by the way, called I Freaking Love Fracking.
I like it.
Yeah, people love that one. Hey, Greg, there's only one problem with this entire interview. We're letting Joe Biden off the hook. When we come back, can you fix that and give him the Greg Wrightstone treatment?
Sure.
Awesome. Okay. First, American National Insurance. Folks, with fires, blizzards, and, you know, everything that, let's face it, Al Gore says is imminent.
Yes.
Okay. Actually, things do go wrong, though. And with these things going wrong, you need someone who always treats you right. Make sure you have the coverage you really need in unpredictable times by calling Paul Leuenberger at American National Insurance. That's 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
Okay, Good Shop is up next. When you've had a car accident, the insurance company is probably thinking about saving money, not getting you the quality work for your car. But you're in control here. You need a Good Shop. So have this number handy, 720-541-7697. Bad accident? You need a Good Shop.
You've already been through a collision. Now give yourself the gift of a gorgeous vehicle inside and out. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop Auto Body continue to earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition with the parts and service recommended by your manufacturer. Now A Good Shop offers full detailing as an add-on service so your vehicle feels like new. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and ask for a full detailing service, including carpet shampooing for the entire interior or trunk, or upgrade to include a ceramic coating that will keep your paint in shiny new condition. Al and his team want to give every customer the wow factor of a vehicle that feels like new. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Mainstream media reported last week that two little Ecuadorian girls were dropped over the border wall in New Mexico. A young girl died by drowning, and a six-month-old was thrown into the river. Kim Munson here. Friday, founder and president of International Network of Hearts, Alma Tucker, explains what is happening at the Biden-Harris border. Plus, Hal Van Herke, owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, updates us on the latest regarding small to mid-sized businesses in Colorado. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Tired of the corporate rat race? Time to retire? Call Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors to buy or sell your business. Find Chris Cantwell at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with conservative mama Rachel Keene. And on the line right now we have Greg Wrightstone, author of Inconvenient Facts, The Science That Al Gore Doesn't Want You to Know. And Greg, just so you know, the science that Al Gore doesn't want us to know could fill thousands of books. Where did you get the time?
I got consumed with this. I'm a geologist. I've been researching Earth's history for 40 years. But I knew that some of what we're being told about climate change was just incorrect because of my knowledge of science and geology. I suspected other things. This was, the book ended up being just the end result of my personal search for the truth about climate change. And what I found angered me, frankly. And I just found that just so many of the things we're being told just weren't so. And in fact, the book was published 3.5 years ago. And just yesterday, it was yet still number one bestseller in two different categories on Amazon.
Well,
and that's that's the testament of how I wrote this book for non-scientists. It's not, you can tell by talking to me. I'm not a science geek. I can communicate, and that's what I wanted to do with the book, was communicate to non-scientists, not dumbing down the science, but making it understandable. And that's what we've done. And we've got a companion smartphone app for, if you go to Google Play or App Store, You can download, just search for inconvenient facts. You get all 60 inconvenient facts. So that way you can carry, have this information in the palm of your hand.
And Greg, do you also have like a website or anything people can find you on?
Well, I'm executive director of the CO2 Coalition, so I'm
great.
Our website is co2coalition.org.
Okay.
And let me just tell you, if your listeners, they're going, oh, Frank is sitting there at dinner table and he goes, Martha, what can we do about this? And Martha says, well, I don't know, let's listen to Greg. Well, Greg will tell you, I'm underfunded and we are underfunded compared to these other groups. I've got an ambitious program to get this information, like we've talked about here, out to a lot of people. And I'm ready. I need to hire some more people. I've got an interview with a fellow tomorrow. I've got more people I need to hire to get our messaging out.
Okay, so, well, how can people support you?
Go to co2coalition.org, and there's a donate button there, and you can hit that. I need your people's support to help me get our message out there.
Yeah.
This is so important. You know, and your listeners know, right now, this is the crux of the debate right now. And we provide, we at the CO2 Coalition are what I call the tip of the spear. We provide the science, the facts, and the data. We stay out of the politics.
Yeah.
And just focus on, this is what you're being told, and this is why they're lying to you.
Right.
And well, these are the facts.
No, I just looked your book up here on Amazon, and I love that, because I'm often debating leftists. And so I love that you have just a simple book that just lays out facts that, you know, that really helps. You know, it helps to have the facts. It helps to have the information on hand. So when you have to, you know, go toe-to-toe with somebody, you can have something to lean back on. And so it's the inconvenient facts, the science that Al Gore doesn't want you to know, Gregory Wrightstone. So I'm thankful for that we have people like this that can create stuff.
It's a book for smart people and for me too.
Yeah, right.
I don't believe that. So and you have to go get the app.
Yeah.
It is. I'm telling you what, it is just, people tell me, oh, you can't carry a book around with you, but you can carry the app with you. And we have.
How do you get the app again, Greg?
Just go to the Google Play Store or the App Store Google inconvenient facts. It'll come up. It's the state of the art, the best climate change app available. We rolled this out 2 years ago in March on the Glenn Beck Show. I was on with Glenn. He loves the app.
Yeah.
And we rolled it 2 days later. Apple removed it from the App Store.
Oh.
And that never happens. After it's approved, it doesn't get removed.
That's because it's working.
Yeah.
Stupid. There's just, they said it lacked compelling content.
Okay, well, tell you what, got to move on here because we got just about a minute and a half, and we're letting Joe Biden off the hook, and I want you to take just a moment. Now, I know that you're not a high-level scientist like AOC. Okay, I understand that you're just kind of hamming away at this. But could you please tell us what Joe Biden is trying to do, pushing the Green New Deal, without calling it that?
Yeah, well, I try and stay out of the politics, but it's almost impossible to
but I
politics.
Don't.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this bill, it's got more investment. It's not investment. More spending targeting the non-existent problem of climate change than it does for infrastructure. It's got $174 billion for 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations. It's got, I need your help. What does this mean? $50 billion for climate resiliency infrastructure. What is that? I have no idea.
That's payoffs to contributors who run green energy companies.
Right. So if you're a blue state governor with a brother-in-law manufacturing widgets, I bet those widgets will be defined as climate resiliency infrastructure.
Of course.
Hmm. And there's $98 billion for clean energy manufacturing. So they're going to be subsidized. $100 billion to provide direct subsidies for solar panel manufacturers and wind turbine manufacturers. Wow. $35 billion for climate technology R&D. So that's just more throwing more money at companies to develop uneconomic alternatives to fossil fuel-fired electricity. And it's just crazy. It's we are going forward into a technology in our future that will lead inevitably to brownouts and regular blackouts. It's inevitable.
All right, folks, there you have it. That is Greg Wrightstone, the author of, what's the book?
Inconvenient Facts, the science that Al Gore doesn't want you to know.
Folks, I want every single one of you to get the app, get it in the App Store right now, get prepared so you can sound like Greg everywhere you go. Greg, thanks for joining us today.
Much.
You bet. Take care. Okay, folks, that is it for hour number two. Cindy Gelston and Scott Garlis are coming up in hour number three. We'll be right back on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.